I don't go downtown anymore because I can't find a place to park. So I don't know how to make it easier, but I know that that is a problem among the elderly of Pensacola. We don't go downtown because I got an old phone. I don't know how to find out and stuff on there. It's an old phone.
The most common complaint I get from tourists at the museum is parking.
So we know it's a problem. We know parking downtown is a nightmare. Blue lots are run by the city. Red lots are run by people. They're on private land, so it's harder to regulate. But it's awful, and it's gotten to the point where there's a lot of people. And I will tell you, myself included, I think, you know, do I really need to go downtown? Do I really want to deal with all that nonsense? And I know all the nooks and crannies. And even I'm like, man, I don't know. So D.C. Reeves is the mayor of Pensacola. He joins us to talk about this. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. So just personal experience, not downtown, but to understand where my mind is at. I went to do an event out at the Hilton over the weekend, and their regular, you know, structured parking was full. And what you used to be able to do is just go park across the street in the strip mall. That's all been converted over to those red signs now. And I'm like, oh, I am not touching this. I'm not going anywhere near this. My producer, Gracie, was telling me this morning that she admitted that she did a like park and run in and run out kind of thing for like 10 minutes, thinking no big deal. They have cameras. She got a $100 ticket at the red lot. We've got it. Can we not decertify them as a business license? Is there not anything that can be done?
Look, I only laugh. I mean, remember, I look at this issue both as a former downtown private business owner and also now the mayor. And as you heard me say in that during that clip earlier in that, during the town hall, I always open with, we're the blue lot, they're the red lot.
I know.
That alleviates frustration. But, no, I mean, look, if I had to do over again, any that's not picking on premium, any outside third-party parking enforcement vendor, you know, number one, the city makes $0.00 of revenue off of any third-party parking, which I would bet is an outlier around the country, that you're going to come enforce in any way parking in our community that we're not even seeing any income from that. And the reason that's doubly frustrating is because who gets the phone calls?
Right.
Who gets the emails?
Right.
So, you know, it's one thing to say, hey, that's private lot, that's private property. You know, you're right to increase revenue and do all of those things. But then when you add to the fact that we're also in charge for free of charge for enforcement and complaints, you know, the complaint hotline, that's frustrating. And so, you know, I get probably 9 out of 10 emails are about, they think it's the city, but it's about red lots.
Well, it says municipal parking enforcement on the stupid ticket. I mean, it's, you know.
Well, and as you may have noticed, that there's actually legislation going through the state as we speak to be able to limit any third-party company's ability to make it seem as if a ticket's enforceable. In reality, they can't put it on your driver's license. There is no enforcement. And in a perfect world, if the city was running all of the parking, if everything was blue, so to speak, you don't have to boot anybody. You don't have to do, because, you know, you can't register your car or you can't get your driver's license renewed without that ticket being paid. But that alleviates the idea, because there's no other way for a third party to enforce is other than to hope that you pay it or boot you and until you, you know, into submission. Right. And so it's very frustrating. I will tell you that, you know, we're looking at on the blue lot side. You know, we did have text to pay start March 1st. And what I tell people in those town halls, I say, look, you know, we know it's not the 30 minutes free and the 50 cents an hour at a blue lot that's causing you to not want to go downtown. It's the ease of use. And that's, you know, we sometimes call it cost, but really what our brains mean is ease of use.
By the way, I will say this. I don't think most people know that the first 30 minutes are free in the blue lots.
Yeah, your first 30 minutes are free in the blue lots, and it's only 50 cents an hour at this point, which really, you know, is significant, significantly lower than anything else.
It's way worse than free, and it's way more complicated than free, but it's way better than the red lots. I mean, that's certainly true.
And you know, we've got bugs. Certainly, you know, we got to look at bugs in our app and our ease of use, and so we've done that. March 1st, we started text to pay. We had 3,100 people use text for pay the first week. So that's good. I mean, as a launch, we're really excited about that. But, you know, I'll tell you this. I've reached out in the last 10 days or so to to the folks that own the most private spaces in the city, and we're going to have a meeting. And we just got to talk about what the future of parking is here. And, you know, because at the end of the day, we can't be your free enforcement, you know, and your customer service, you know, I mean.
Well, I agree. And I'm glad to hear that because, I think we would.
You know, in other words, that's the kind of the quagmire that the city is put between and that the mayor's put between right now is, you know, we're trying to do our own thing with our own lots. And then we've got this third party. So,
right.
Yes, I totally understand people's frustration. I do.
Well, and I would love to see a future in which the, you know, blue lots take over the red lot management, which certainly seems like the ideal outcome compared to all alternatives. But I genuinely have this question of, you know, look, we have this whole pilot program for the Bird scooters, and I know that's on public right of way, so I get there's some distinctions here. But it seems like somehow or other through the business licensing process, there'd be a way to tell this company, hey, you know, this is going to have to change, or we're going to take away your right to do business as a vendor of this product, even though it's on private lots, you know, we still have business regulation capability. DC, just a kind of quick answer, because I know we've got other stuff we got to get to, but is there any lever in terms of the business licensing process aspect for bringing some, you know, some stick instead of carrot to the red lot parking?
Of course, look, we're looking into that. The much, much easier thing would have been to do it on the front end before they ever showed up. But we are looking into that. We're having conversations with private lots, your private lot owners. Because I agree with you. I think the best case scenario for our community is for us to all be rowing in the same direction in some fashion. I mean, so I'll continue to strive for that. That won't be easy, but that's the direction we're going to try to go.
Very good. Obviously, this week we've had another death at the club that has various names, but always seems to be the location of the problems. You know, we talked to Ship Simmons about this the other day, and he indicated that, you know, if he were the chief of police, write him a letter and be like, at the very least, put him on notice. Hey, we know you're running an unsafe operation, and this is going to put you in some legal liability in the future if anything else happens. A lot of people are saying just shut the thing down. I mean, a bulldozer can't come fast enough. Like, that's the way people are thinking about this. What are you thinking about?
Yeah, you know, absolutely. Actually, I ran into Chip yesterday at a Navy League luncheon, and we talked about this. You know, here's what we know. You know, I'm trying to pull as much data as I can. I like to speak objectively to make sure, you know, again, we all kind of, you know, anecdotally know because we hear about it there all the time. But, you know, there's been 200 calls there at that address the last 5 years. And remember, that address doesn't mean that's just the address. That's not the adjoining parking lot necessarily or across the street. And there's been 3 murders there in 5 years. I mean, and something has to be done, no doubt about it. So, I plan on reaching out to the owner today. I've had conversations with our leadership in PPD, and, you know, we're going to be equipped with that data. And certainly at a minimum, you know, Chip's suggestion, I think, is a good one. You know, at a minimum, we're going to let everybody know, whether that be the owner, the insurance company, you know, whatever makes the most sense for us. You know, certainly a letter from the mayor's office as well as our police department, you know, about where things stand and kind of where we are. But you know, we're gonna have a conversation with the property owner and certainly what we're looking into on our side, what potential remedies are and what we can and can't do. To your point, you know, it's you know, I know some people are understandably, you know, frustrated and can't bring the bulldozer fast enough, as you say. But obviously, there's some steps we've got to take before, you know, we can take on something. But, you know, it's a frustrating thing, and it's a frustrating thing for me. You know, people want to feel safe when they live in Pensacola, Florida.
Yeah.
That's the number one thing they care about. And so when these things happen, and especially at the same place, it's extremely frustrating. And it becomes our top priority no matter what else is going on.
And, I mean, you know, I know you guys are thinking about alternatives, but even, you know, look, mandatory off-duty PPD presence, you know, at businesses that are putting too much demand on services, you know, something along those lines to, you know, if they won't voluntarily do what's right to keep law and order in their property and vicinity, then, you know, maybe we need to charge them for it and make them do it themselves. Last thing, we always like to end with a bit of a fun, you know, lighthearted, lightning kind of round. Quick nerd question for you. We're going to find out how much of a nerd DC Reeves is. He's a numbers guy from sports. Yesterday was Pi Day. How many digits of Pi do you have committed to memory?
Ooh, 3.
All right, fair enough.
3.14. That's 1.4. Is it 1.5?
That's right, 1.5. That's right. Very good. That's a good start. I'll give you credit for 2 more than most people know. That's well done.
Okay.
Speaking of Pi, do you have a favorite Pi?
Key lime or lemon icebox, something sour.
All right, I'll take it, especially because nobody yesterday mentioned that one. And last one for today, Gulf Islands National Seashore, second most visited national park in the entire country. If you had to go to a place for natural beauty, and I know you've traveled a lot, if you went to a place for natural beauty other than, you know, locally here in Florida, what's your place? What's your, like, that's a cool place to visit?
Well, I mean, if we're saying in the world, I just saw it, which was Patagonia in January. I mean, that was, it's unbelievable.
Okay.
But if not, if we're saying U.S., I'm going to say Zion National Park.
Okay.
You got that. Yeah, those are, it's different than the beach. You know, I'm around the beach. I like to see the other thing.
Right.
You know, whenever you live by one. So, both of those places, awesome and amazing.
Outstanding. And there's nothing like that, an international or national perspective to shape your appreciation of the things that you have locally and how we can always do things a little bit different here. D.C. Reeves, the mayor of Pensacola, as always, D.C., thanks so much for the time this morning and answering our questions. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, y'all have a great rest of your week.